It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Take a vacation from your bills, pay off credit cards, and save thousands of dollars after a simple phone call to Golden Oak Lending. Visit GoldenOakLending.com to speak to someone today.
Golden Oak Lending, cured my blues.
NMLS 114937.
We're back with host Chris Ronji on The Score.
Doncic took the final shot before that. Here's Reeves. Reeves straight to the cup. Plays it in to take the lead. Bulls are out of timeouts. 2 seconds left. Giddy for the win. Go!
Oh, my God. I cannot believe this. Elizabeth, I'm coming back.
Wow. How good was that? How good was that finish last night? How good was the call? Both Adam Amin on Chicago Sports Network and you've got Chuck Swirsky here on Odyssey. He was on WBBM last night because of Cubs baseball. What a fantastic finish for the Bulls last night. And we go to the Circa Resorts guest line again, Circa Sports Illinois. Download the Circa Sports app today. Adam Amin, the voice you just heard, is with us on 670 The Score. What's up, Adam?
I'm trying to remember, when's the last time you and I got a chance to talk on the air? I think it's been quite some time if we've ever had a chance at all.
Buddy, I don't think we ever have. I was thinking about today.
Doesn't that freak you out a little bit? Because I feel like we know each other, you know, at least fairly well, or at least in passing. I would have thought we would have crossed paths. Since we haven't, lovely to talk to you, my friend.
It's unacceptable, Adam.
Agreed.
It's unacceptable we let this happen for so long.
I'm glad we're rectifying. I'm glad Tyler did something to rectify this.
Well, somebody had to because it was never going to change otherwise. So Tyler is on top of it. So, that has to be as fun of a call as you have ever gotten to make.
You know, I was thinking about this. And first off, I always remember how lucky we are to do the job and how lucky I am that I've gotten the chance to see like cool stuff like this for a while, right? All you hope for is that you get like one moment in a career that just like lives on. And I'm not saying that this is one of those moments, but it feels a lot like some of the other ones that I've been fortunate enough to see. Like it felt that way last night. The buzz was insane. Obviously, you wake up the next morning, a lot more people have seen it. Somebody texted me. I was on a plane this morning, and somebody texted me that the Today Show was playing it. Like, that's a cultural thing. Like, that's really cool. That's what a dream beyond a dream to have something like that have such a cool reach. And on top of that, like, that's just the aftermath, the actual being in the moment. I mean, that's one of the craziest sports sequences I've ever seen. Whether as a broadcaster, as a fan, as just somebody who's been alive watching sports, that was just an incredible finish. And to have it have some of the peripheral stuff around it, Bulls, Lakers, LeBron's on the other side. They just had a buzzer beater the night before to win a game. Bulls are hot finally. They're kind of finding their way with this young core and these two, you know, these three young players who at times have been maligned in their careers. Patrick Williams, and certainly is still kind of dealing with it right now. Coby White, who didn't really know what role he was going to be locked into, and still up until maybe this stretch in the month of March and February, did he really know what role he's going to be. And then Josh Giddey, who got benched in the playoffs by a team that he started for 4 years and had to find a new spot. And I think that was like all those other peripheral things surrounding it, combined with the aftermath of it and the stakes and the sequencing, it was just one of the coolest things I've ever gotten a chance to see or be a part of. What a moment. That was awesome.
And it was loud on TV. It was loud on the radio call. It had to have been impossible in the building.
I think we said it right when the broadcast started. Like, there is a buzz, and there always is when you have a big opponent or a big time player coming in. But in particular, when the Lakers show up, and even I don't even know if we necessarily feel the same way when like the Celtics come in. But when the Lakers come in to Chicago, there's always a buzz surrounding it. I'm sure part of that is because the Lakers have a wide-ranging fan base. I'm sure that's a major part. I mean, listen, it was really loud for the Lakers, too. When Austin Reeves made the go-ahead shot, there were a lot of Laker fans in the building. So just the buzz was apparent from the start. And then the nature of the game, the comeback, you know, the 18-point comeback in the fourth quarter. I think they were down 18 with 10 minutes left. You know, the nature of the game added to the atmosphere and the buzz that surrounded it. And again, I'm sure that's part of the reason why it felt like more of a cultural moment the next day because of what that atmosphere looked, felt, and sounded like.
Bulls broadcaster on the TV side, Adam Amin, is with us here on 670 The Score. So as you look at this Bulls team, which is currently in the play-in game, they're well under 500. I mean, they're seven games under at the moment. They have won four in a row, however. I believe it's 9 of 11 they have won. So They're playing basketball. They're getting the results. What do you make of this team if you take a 10,000-foot view?
I want to try to keep things in perspective as often as possible. And the fun thing about a game like last night, we kind of didn't really pay much attention to like the standings and where the Bulls were record wise. And we didn't make a little bit more mention of the Lakers battling with the Nuggets and the Grizzlies for seeding in the West because they're battling for a top four spot. But we kind of took a step back from that last night because of the kind of grandeur of the game, because of the, you know, surrounding storylines and all that. Being realistic about it, this is still a team that, you know, has the record it has, is in the position that it is. But playing the way they're playing right now, listen, the East is not great this year, right? It's very top-heavy. It's Boston, it's Cleveland, it's the Knicks who have had a lot of question marks at times, and then a lot of question marks beyond that, even with teams like Milwaukee and Indiana. Detroit's young and fun and exciting. But, like, beyond that, like, the playing teams in the East are kind of the same teams that we've kind of watched the last few years. The Bulls are probably, you know, it's going to be, what, a third straight year in the play-in tournament for them. So keeping that in mind and trying to be realistic about where they're at, I still understand that fans in some portions of the fan base are not satisfied, and I understand that. And they're right. They shouldn't be satisfied necessarily with that. But with the changes they've made, I give a lot of credit to the group. You know, we were on that West Coast trip with them for 12 days, and you see the vibes, you see the chemistry. I hear coaches talking a lot more about why chemistry matters. And I think those conversations have kind of framed how I feel like I can view this team. It's younger, it's more exciting, it's faster paced, it's less static, I think, offensively, although they do have some possessions every game that feel a little stagnant. But I don't think it's a static team. I think young players are finding their roles and playing very well in those roles and trying to star in those roles. And I don't like using the phrase addition by subtraction. I think that's an insult to previous players for this roster, in particular Zach LaVine. I don't think he deserves the flack that he's gotten over the course of the full length of his Chicago tenure. But I understand why it's a little bit easier to run a system. It's a little bit easier to see the role definition on with this group when you don't have a spark plug like Zach LaVine who can take over a game but also may need, you know, certain shot attempt level to get effective in a game. So I think all those things combined lead to a little bit more of a better flow. And then all those other things that we talked about with the framework of the East not being particularly good and the Bulls kind of being where they're at, I think that's what's let into the framework of how you view this team right now.
Talking to Adam Amin on 670 The Score, what is the future of Josh Giddey for this Bulls team?
I mean, the question is, what's the market going to bear for him? And will the Bulls be willing to pay that? Obviously, right? Like the way he's played since the All-Star break, now you're looking at somebody who probably commands in the neighborhood of $25 to $32 million a year. And obviously 32 is a very high-end number, but that's relative to what guys like Jalen Suggs have made, who have put up either similar numbers in terms of player efficiency, or they've made similar impacts overall, whether it's on the defensive or offensive end. Obviously, Giddey's impact is more apparent on the offensive end, but he's played better defensively, as the two games against the Lakers have shown. He's in that range, and he's earned it. And you have guys that he used to play with in Oklahoma City saying he's worth more than the $22 to $25 million a year range that maybe Casey Johnson, who works, you know, for us at CHSN. I think that number that he's thrown out there is a great number for the Bulls. I don't know if that's what Josh is going to accept, or if that's even what teams are going to look at him and value him as. They may value him much higher than that. So I think that's where it lies, but he's an improving shooter. He's an Olympian, so that means he's got leadership capability that the Bulls have needed, especially with the departures of guys like DeRozan and LaVine. I think if he can continue to get a little bit better defensively, that is only going to increase his value. But the way he's been able to shoot the ball, this is a guy who got maligned for his shooting throughout his early career, throughout the Olympics in Paris this past summer. And he's turned into like a 37, 38% shooter. And for portions of the year, he's been like a 40, 41% guy. So the improvements are there. Paying guys is a scary proposition in this league because you never know how their attitude or their work ethic is going to change. But Josh seems like a guy who takes a lot of pride in how he plays, and I hope that's the case. But we'll see if he gets a better offer elsewhere, because that may very well be the case.
It's not going to happen soon, at least I don't think so. Maybe at some point an extension during the offseason, but Coby White is a decision they're going to have to make within a year. Can you see them extending him and maybe getting it done before this next season?
I could see that very much being a conversation. I'm sure Coby White is going to have an opportunity, if he wishes, to explore the open market. But I also do think Coby feels some level of loyalty to this group. You know, the one thing that you can't predict is how you're going to be perceived when you go to another organization, unless you are Kevin Durant and we know what your role is and you're at a Hall of Fame caliber level of doing that. When you're a player like Coby White, who's ascending and still finding out exactly what he's great at and what teams have to plan for him when they play against him, I think going to another franchise, you don't necessarily know how teams are going to perceive you, what role you're going to be put into, how much opportunity you're going to get, not only to lead a team, but to have maybe chances to win. I mean, is he going to go to a Western Conference team where he might get, you know, swallowed up in the glut of great guards that are on that side of the ledger right now in the NBA? Or is he going to get the same opportunity with an up-and-coming Western team to be their leader and to be their go-to guy, but he's going to have to grind it out with maybe lesser talented players around him for another 2, 3, 4 years on a big money contract? Or would he be willing to take maybe a slight discount, but still probably do very well for himself? He's on a very friendly team contract right now as it is. He would certainly make a much higher amount than $12 million a year. I think, you know, if he feels that loyalty to the organization, many players often do to whatever organizations brew them, maybe that's a consideration that he keeps in mind when that decision comes around. But again, like Josh Giddey, he's going to be a player that gets a lot of attention. He's going to have a lot of suitors because of this surge of great games that he's put together consistently.
Well, he has been a lot of fun to watch. I mean, this March, the way he's played this month has just been, I mean, Adam, it's been unbelievable.
I think he's probably got the best case for Eastern Conference Player of the Month. And, you know, he was Player of the Week twice these last couple of weeks, and certainly has continued this stretch. What is it now, 14 straight games of 20-plus points. He had the 35-plus for three straight. He's made big shots. He's been good defensively when need be. He is really a leader by example, I think, now. Everybody kind of looks to guys, and as you and I have talked about, Josh Giddey and Coby White have kind of been the lead by example guys for this particular group, this younger group now. It's a lot of work ethic. It's a lot of, you know, being the first guy in, last guy out type of mentality. It's a lot of off-season work as well. And all that has led to this point where he feels super confident in the abilities that he's cultivated and he's improved upon over the last year. So it's great to watch that. It's fun to watch that. You know, I started filling in for the Bulls in like 2018. So I've seen most of Coby White's career, if not the entirety of it in some form. And to see his growth and to see where he was kind of a lost player in terms of what role he was going to fill and how good he was going to get at those roles, to finding something as a two guard and as a part-time point guard, but really as a two guard, to have the ball in his hands and show that he's got this entire bag of tricks to work with to try to score at the level he's scoring at right now. That's fun. You root for guys like that.
You know, Adam, you mentioned right off the top here that there are all these storylines with the game last night. And the biggest one, I think, is LeBron and everything that's happened this past week and, you know, criticizing Brian Windhorst and just oddly attacking him for some reason. Not exactly sure why that happened. And then he has a couple of costly plays for the Lakers last night in that final sequence twice. I mean, he coughs the ball up on the inbound and then, you know, fails to guard Giddey coming down, letting him, you know, shoot from half court wide open. What was it like covering that game last night, knowing all those storylines? And I know you try to block them out, but you know they're there.
You know, I think we even said at one point, like, we're going to leave the Stephen A. Smith LeBron beef to, you know, the folks on Instagram and TikTok. And we tried to keep that out of mind. That was my way of acknowledging that. Like, hey, we know that there's this weird media beef going on and Windhorst is getting thrown under the bus. And I thought Brian said it perfectly. He goes, LeBron owes me nothing. I owe him just about everything in my career. That's a classy way to handle that. But there's always an extra buzz to when LeBron has come into the building, right? That's been the case going back to his Cleveland days and his Miami days and his Cleveland days again. And since I've been covering the Bulls, pretty much he's been with the Lakers now. So anytime those teams come into Chicago, there's always that extra thought of, hey, the ghost of Michael is kind of looming over this guy. Stacey brought it up last night too and said, you know, I always thought that LeBron was more Magic than Jordan. And I always thought Kobe was more Jordan than LeBron was Jordan, which I think both of those things are correct. And I agree with those wholeheartedly. So I kind of tend to stay away from trying to frame anything LeBron does in the Jordan affect. That seems to be how everybody is going to treat him for the remainder of his career. And certainly Stephen A, who's got as big a platform as anybody for this type of argument or debate or hot takery, he's certainly going to make those hot takes and put them out there and turn them into public fodder. And that generates clicks and attention and views and everything that he needs to keep justifying that big salary he gets. So I understand where he's coming from. It's nice to be able to step away from that. But I know there's a lot of satisfaction in a lot of Bulls fans' minds after not only the comeback, not only the way it happened, not only the excitement level, not only the buzz in the building, but to see that the guy who they kind of leer at and say, you're not as good as our guy, I think there's some satisfaction for those fans in seeing that, hey, he's not infallible, right? The way that many of his fans talk about his, and we're talking about all of this in just basketball terms, but, like, you know, he's not an infallible player. And I think there's some satisfaction in some Bulls fans' minds, and that's fine. I have a soft spot for LeBron because he was the first superstar I covered when I began covering this league. Him and Steph Curry are the two guys that I've covered more than any other player since I started doing the NBA. So I have a soft spot for the generation that appreciates their greatness. But I know where I stand on the debate. You know, if there is a debate, I grew up on what I think is the greatest player of all time. And I'm looking at the player that has maybe the greatest resume of all time. And that's kind of how I frame it in my head.
Adam Amin, I know that you've got some personal stuff going on. Good stuff. It's not anything serious.
But yeah.
Got some personal, so you will not be on the call for the Bulls tomorrow. They will host Dallas at 7 o'clock. You'll be back in no time, and we look forward to it. I don't think you're going to get one of those calls, though, when you come back. The likelihood, the odds of that happening again, very low. But that was a hell of a call and a lot of fun last night.
Really appreciate that, buddy. It was great talking to you about it. And yeah, that was one of those nights and one of those games that you kind of put away in the vault and think, you know, that'll be one of the ones I remember for a long, long time.
It's good to talk to you, Adam. I mean, thank you.
Thanks, Chris.
Adam Amin calling Bulls basketball. You can hear him do some baseball, I believe, for Fox. He's going to call some this summer. And then football. And, you know, it's amazing how much we love football. And we'll talk about it at any time. And I still, even though the baseball season just started, you've got the finish of the NBA season coming up here. The Bulls still have 9 games to go. I am, like, looking forward to football already. It's, what is it, March 28th? I'm already looking forward to football, and we're a month away from the draft. That's just it. There's something wrong with me, I think. Adam Amin is fantastic, and he will, again, not be in for the call tomorrow as the Bulls take on the Mavericks, but he'll be back soon enough. We appreciate you listening in tonight. Speaking of the NFL draft, we are going to talk to Mike Renner, who is an analyst for CBS. We will get his thoughts on what he believes will happen with the Bears, with their 10th pick and what they do with their couple of second round picks and beyond that. That is coming up on the show at 7:40. You've got me until 8 o'clock tonight, and I'm glad to be with you. The phone number 312-644-6767 to call us or to text us. You can also leave us a voice message straight from the Odyssey app. Chris Ranji on the Score.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today. It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
We're back with host Chris Ranji on The Score.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of short-term memory, and that's something I've really tried to work on this season. And there's been times throughout the year where I haven't shot it well. There's been times where I've shot it well. So ignoring the first, you know, I missed the last two in a row. And obviously, different circumstances. When shooting from half court, it's probably less care. You know, you just let it fly. And if it missed, people expect it to miss. So I thought the two I missed before, I was pretty open. Those were two I would have liked to knock down. So, yeah, short-term memory, move on to the next. And I was able to do that for a while.
Josh Giddey after his game-winning bucket last night from half court and the Bulls beating the Lakers. What a game that was. Unbelievable finish. Just had an opportunity to talk with Bulls play-by-play voice, Adam Amin. who you can hear on the TV call. Not this weekend, though. He's out of town, but he will be back quickly for the Bulls as they finish up their season. And they look like they are well on their way to being a play-in team. We're going to talk NFL draft coming up here before the show is over at 8 o'clock before we get to you, or we get you to Cubs baseball, who will play in Arizona tonight. Mike Renner, NFL draft analyst, will join us before that happens. So we're going to get his thoughts on what the Bears should do, what he thinks they are going to do with the draft, which is 4 weeks away from now. So like one day shy of 4 weeks from today. And we are going to have the draft. I cannot wait for it. And I last time I hosted, or I filled in here on the Score, I said that I'm usually this time of the year approaching baseball season, or right in the middle of it, or right when it starts, I'm thinking about nothing but baseball. Because we're now in baseball season. It's time to focus on it. I care about the draft, whatever, not a big deal. I have been more intrigued in Bears off seasons the last 4, 5, 6 years, I think, than I ever have been. And actually looking forward to the draft. I used to kind of think, why are people watching this? This isn't a game. You know, maybe turn it on when your team is about to pick, but why do you sit here and watch hours of draft coverage? You know what? I get it now. I totally get it.
Bears.
Even at the beginning of baseball season where we are right now. In fact, last show I hosted, I had our guy Bruce Levine on, and I reminded him of a story when we were one time in the White Sox clubhouse. You know, it was before a game, and it was a Sunday. And it was the first NFL Sunday of the season in September. I don't remember what year it was. It doesn't matter. But we were standing there, and on the clubhouse TVs were football games. And Bruce said, this is the most depressing time of the year. And I'm like, why? And he goes, this is when the baseball season starts to get really good and everybody turns it off and starts watching football. And I thought, you know what? You're right, Bruce. You're right. September is a great baseball month. And America turns its attention to football that very first Sunday. And I thought, yeah, man, look, baseball should have this attention right now. And now I'm becoming one of the people that Bruce hates. Although Bruce may have hated me before anyway, but this doesn't help. So the baseball season is ongoing, and today, not for the Cubs, because they're playing in a stadium that has a roof, and in Arizona where it doesn't rain, and when it does, everything shuts down because they don't know how to handle rain and they don't have sewers. So they are playing a game tonight. Multiple teams around baseball are not, and I have to tell you, I am stunned that I am not alone on this island. Talked to Ben Verlander about this earlier. We had a caller who agreed with me on this. I hate the buffer day. And the White Sox are having a buffer day. You know, you open the season on a Thursday. Friday's an off day just in case it rains on Thursday and we can make up the game on Friday. That right there is flawed logic as it is. Just right off the top. Just really bad logic. And I told you earlier, going through the last couple of years, looking to see how many rainouts there were on opening day. There have been a handful, like six, over the course of 3 years, rainouts on opening day. And guess when they made them up? On Friday, the very next day. They were all made up on the very next day. So you know what that means? Just start the season on Friday so people can have an easier time taking off work. And you go right into a weekend and you don't lose the momentum from opening the season on a Thursday. And then the very next game, first game of the year you play, and the very next day you're off. It is so dumb. It's so dumb. It's so dumb. And it's the only time of year, as Verlander said when we talked to him, it's the only time of year that they do that. Why even bother? Because you don't build in days in the middle of May when it rains a lot. And later in April, you don't build in off days just in case. Off days are just off days. It's not like they're there just in case there's a rain out. It's so silly. And I think MLB could do a whole lot better for its sport if they make it a whole weekend of, you know, games and stuff. Like, just start the season on a Friday. It's cool. It would be preferred. And I'm glad to know that other people are agreeing with me. This one here from an 847, a text message, and you can send in a message at 312-644-6767. Good call, man. I've been saying this for years. It's the dumbest thing ever. Just start with a four-game series or start this season with a weekend series. Yes! It makes so much sense. And here's another from an 815. How about Super Bowl Sunday? It should be afternoon or Saturday evening. Yeah, that's obvious. That having the Super Bowl on a Sunday is really dumb. We know it's not about preparation because teams get, what? They get 2 weeks anyway. So what's the difference between 13 and 14 days? Just start it on a Saturday. Have the game on a Saturday and let people enjoy their weekend. Let them recover on Sunday instead of having to take off work Monday. And you know people take off work the Monday after the Super Bowl. I did. And I know many of you are doing it too. When I am elected president, actually, I think I'm going to run for emperor. When I am elected emperor of the United States, my first order of business, there are going to be two things. I am going to force Major League Baseball teams to start their seasons on Friday, unless it's something special like a Tokyo series like the Cubs had. And I am going to force the NFL to move the Super Bowl to Saturday. Because it is so stupid that they do this. This text message says they do it because the people who bought opening day tickets still get to go to opening day. If it rains out on a Friday, then the people who are going to opening day now lose that. So what? That's true of any rain out all year. And it doesn't mean that... that just because they have the game open the next day or the day open to play a game, people who have made plans to be at opening day on Thursday can't necessarily do it on Friday. So some people are getting screwed if there's a game on Friday because, well, they took off work on Thursday, not Friday. So they have to go into work on Friday. Or maybe they took a trip and Thursday, they're leaving town on Friday and they can't stay. So it doesn't matter. I mean, I see what you're saying, and I get the rationale. It's just not very good rationale for doing it. Here's another text message from an 815, and this is this person knows that I currently work for the Cardinals flagship station in St. Louis. That is my permanent full-time job. And they are asking me, what's the pulse of the Cardinals right now? It seems odd. No one is even considering them for a division pick. Well, no, because they didn't do a lot during the offseason. They subtracted by trading away Paul Goldschmidt or allowing Paul Goldschmidt to go. And he didn't have a great year anyway last year. And they failed to trade Nolan Arenado, who did not have a good season last season. So really, it's about the same team that is coming back, and they weren't a particularly good team the last couple of years. So if you looked at the Picota projections, they have them winning 77 games this season. Now, that's Picota. You don't have to care much about them, but it is something to consider. And I don't think there are many people picking them to win because there aren't very many people who think they will. They might be around 500 or just under 500 or maybe a little above, but they would not be my pick to win the division. Doesn't mean they can't. I just would not say that they're going to. A lot of people here in St. Louis, where I currently am, I'm doing the show remotely. Hello, everyone. They aren't very confident in what the Cardinals are going to be this year. There isn't a ton of enthusiasm around there, other than the normal, typical baseball season started, it's here, that sort of enthusiasm. But as far as them being a playoff team, you're not going to find a whole lot of people who think they're going to be. I'm Chris Ranji. hanging out with you for just a little bit longer before we get to the Cubs pregame show, which is tonight at 8:05. College hoops coverage, by the way, on the Score. It's brought to you by Bet365. There are tournament games ongoing right now. The Sweet 16 is happening. But when we come back, we're going to talk some draft. We'll see what the Bears are going to do and what they should do. When we join the show, or when we rejoin here, we are going to visit with Mike Renner, who is a draft analyst for CBS. That is next here on The Score.
We're back with host Chris Ranji on The Score.
We're talking about the identity of the team. We want physical, we want sound, and we want poise. And so we're looking to identify individuals that fall under those criteria. Intangibles matter. There's no doubt about it. But we need a physical aspect. We want sound football players, fundamentally sound, smart football players. But also the poise part of it is a piece of the equation where when the lights are on, when the game is hot, then we need them to perform at their best.
Bears head coach Ben Johnson is helping to bolster a Bears roster with a draft coming up. We are just under 4 weeks away from that. I'm Chris Ranji, filling in tonight on 670 The Score, live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. And we go to the guest line again this evening, brought to you by Circa Sports Illinois. Download the Circa Sports app today. Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. We talk to Mike Renner, who covers the NFL and is a draft analyst for CBS, who joins us tonight on The Score. How's it going, Mike?
Going great. Thanks for having me on.
So we're, like I said, about 4 weeks away from the draft. Does it feel, when you're covering the draft, like it's always tomorrow?
It honestly always feels like it's like way away.
Oh, does it? Okay.
To me, at least. It always feels like there's so much time.
Yeah. Okay. It just that there's so much work that goes into it and trying to parse through all of these picks and what you think teams might do. And a lot of times these mock drafts end up changing. So as I'm going to ask you two questions about the Bears. Well, I'll ask you more, but two specifically here. Who do you think they're going to draft? And who should they draft? And you can either name individuals or positions.
If I had to guess, just like out of anyone, and of them, like of the, them in the teams in the top 15, they're pretty low on my team of like, I feel like good about projecting. You know, there's some teams where I'm like, yeah, that fit makes a lot of sense. That one makes a lot of sense. There's no one pick for the Bears where I'm like, for sure him. So even my like most likely guy is still like a 10 to 15% chance. Maybe more like 20. I think Shamar Stewart, though, is Texas A&M defensive end, just based off of Ryan Pohl's track record, kind of where they have their needs in this draft and just what could get them to that next level. I think he's a guy that could be a real big swing of the bat. Obviously, is one of the best athletes in this entire draft class. And that's a position where athleticism more often than not translates to the league. So I think it's him. Who would I pick, though? I love Kelvin Banks Jr., the Texas offensive tackle. I think he's just a very clean across the board left tackle, and it would give you one of the best offensive lines in the NFL for the next, you know, 3 to 4 years. And that's just something, if you're Ben Johnson, it gives him already what he had over there in Detroit.
See, I'm right there with you in going with offensive line. I don't feel like they can go wrong there because you can't have a strong enough line. It just, you can't. And if you have it for however many years, 3, 4, 5 years, and put your quarterback in such a great position.
Yeah, and offensive linemen, one, they're very loyal. You know, they sign with their initial franchises that drafted them more often than not, and they have long careers. You know, nowadays, guys are playing until their late 30s. You know, if you drafted Lane Johnson in 2013, you hit the jackpot, right? Like, that's 13 years of high-level tackle play. That's what you can get. And those guys, again, they just don't leave. So you draft a good one, you'll have a good one for a decade. So to me, that's where I'd like to go and just pair a tackle duo that you just don't have to worry about that. You just don't have to think about it for a while.
And they did do a pretty good job in helping to fix that unit during this offseason with free agency. How much better are they there, and how comfortable are you with it if they just go into the season with what they have?
Yeah, I mean, they're considerably better. It's like I said, if they had Kelvin Banks, you could be one of the best. Right now, I think they're, borderline top 10 unit. Now, there's a reason that I think Jonah Jackson's definitely a buyer beware. There's a reason he fell out of favor in L.A. You know, he couldn't even see the football field. But I trust Ben Johnson's track record and what he did with him in Detroit that he'll probably bounce back season. So massively upgraded, probably, at least two different positions along the interior of that offensive line. Now you're left with an offensive line. Left tackle is probably your weak link, and Braxton Jones, when he's been healthy, has been at least not a liability. So you don't have any liabilities up front. That's good enough to improve your offense. It definitely goes from probably a bottom 10 unit to, like I said, probably a borderline top 10 unit.
NFL and draft analyst Mike Renner is with us here on 670 The Score. The Bears also have a couple of picks in the second round, 39 and 41. They have a third rounder, fifth rounder, a couple of seventh rounders. What do you envision they do in terms of keeping those picks, holding on to them, packaging them for something else? And if they do hang on to them, I mean, is it difficult to project later second round or even mid second round picks?
I think the Bears are uniquely difficult to project this year just because there's no holes, right? Like there's not a spot. I think one pick or one position you can really pencil in, running back. You know, either that 39, 41 spot, it's a really good running back class. If we see, a Marion Hampton, if he doesn't go in the first round, would not surprise me if the Bears make a mini move to go up, package one of those picks with like a fourth rounder and say, or a fifth rounder and say, let's get up to the top of the second and get a guy like that. So I think that's the one position where I'm like, one of those three day two picks will be a running back more often than not. But after that, they really could go a number of different ways. And that's, that's a good spot to be in as a franchise. You don't want to have to draft a player. That's how you end up more often than not reaching for a guy.
Yeah, there's a lot of talk about Ashton Jeanty, obviously, because he's been so good. And he probably, I don't know, is he even going to make it to 10, or will he be gone well before that?
You never know. Running back is such an odd position. I think the tea leaves are pointing him towards Las Vegas, and for good reason, given Pete Carroll's track record, given the need there. But running back is such a... You either would do it or you wouldn't. Some teams, you either have a starting running back. So like the teams behind them. So it's the Jets, the Panthers, the Saints, they're not going to draft a running back. Jags aren't drafting one. So it really is only the Raiders. And then after Chicago, it's like, I don't think the 49ers are drafting with Christian McCaffrey. Maybe the Cowboys, like there's so many teams where it's like either, or it's not like a defensive lineman where even if you have a good defensive line, you could still draft a defensive lineman. So, I think there's actually a very good chance. I put it probably at a coin flip right now that he's on the board there at 10 still.
Mike Renner covers the NFL for CBS Sports, also hosts a podcast called Pushing the Pile with Kyle Long. That's our guy, Kyle Long. And just in looking at what the Bears have done during the offseason, a lot of work, not just with the roster, at least so far, they've hired the new head coach. And that was the guy everybody seem to want. This was the first time the Bears have hired somebody that everybody was happy with. Usually there's confusion, but this time there wasn't. I know it's not always easy to project what a coordinator will be as a head coach, but as you see Ben Johnson, how good do you think he'll be?
I think he'll be very good, just because at least offensively. I mean, at least as an offensive mind. Now, the Bears obviously had an offensive mind in the mid-2010s that couldn't coach his way out of paper bag and Mark Trestman. But Ben Johnson, to me, is a different caliber of offensive mind than even Mark Trestman was. And I think in this day and age, those guys you see consistently that are that far ahead of the curve, those are the guys that are winning. And so I think he's picked up a thing or two over the time in Detroit in terms of like how to build a franchise, how to like keep a locker room intact, those sort of things, like how to be a leader, even if it may not be, the natural leadership qualities that a Dan Campbell has. I think he's still going to keep that locker room intact. And it's easy to be intact when your side of the ball is doing its job. So I do think that when you watch his offense, it is the things he is doing. He is right there at the forefront of guys like, Kyle Shanahan, Sean McVay, Kevin O'Connell, all these offensive minds. I'd put Ben Johnson right at the top of that list.
So quickly, before we say goodbye here, of all the teams in football, which one do you think could do the most to really dramatically improve themselves with the draft coming up?
That's a great question. I mean, obviously, Tennessee, when you just think they got the number one, I think they're going to take Cam Ward, and like Cam Ward versus Will Levis, like it could just be a night and day difference. But after that, gosh, I do think that the New England Patriots are in a spot where they need to hit. Like if you hit on, you know, if they get Travis Hunter falls to them, and then they get a left tackle, maybe say in the second round, or just get some offensive line help. They already have the Drake May piece. They already have, like, he looked like a franchise quarterback year one. I think that's a team that if they just can hit on a few spots with all they added in free agency, because they spent just a zillion dollars, right, and had so many good players come into that building, that could be a year-on-year turnaround, the likes of which, you know, they could be a 12-win team next year, and I don't think a lot of people would bat an eye if they really hit this draft out the park.
Mike Renner covers the NFL and the draft for CBS Sports. Also, his podcast with Kyle Wong is called Pushing the Pile. You should listen to it. Mike, we appreciate you on a Friday night giving us some time. Thank you.
For sure. Thanks so much for having me. Have a good one.
You too. That is Mike Renner. You can follow him on Twitter at Mike Renner. That's two N's. Mike Renner _. So again, covering the draft for CBS Sports. It's coming up, folks. We're just less than 4 weeks away from it. 3 weeks and 6 days until we get to the NFL draft, and it gets started on the 24th on a Thursday. And I am looking forward to it. I cannot wait to see what this Bears team ends up doing. Hey, guess what? We're done here. You and me, we are finished. I've had enough. You've had enough. And you're ready for Cubs baseball. The pregame show is coming up in just a matter of minutes as they will continue their series with the Diamondbacks in Arizona. Zach Zaidman has the pregame show in just a matter of minutes. As I mentioned, I want to thank our guests, Mike Renner, Adam Amin, Ben Verlander, and Mark Grody. I want to thank Tyler Buterbaugh for putting the show together. What a guy. He's really helped me out quite a bit, and I appreciate you, Tyler. Thank you for all of your help today, and we'll talk to you down the road. What do you say? All right? Have a great one, everyone. Enjoy your weekend. I will talk to you sometime soon. Anything you missed is on the Odyssey app. Download it. Go back and get the podcasts of this show or any other show here on 670 The Score. Cubs baseball is next.
I profoundly apologize.
No, you that's should. Fine. Yeah. You did your best.
If you have a locked AT&T phone, we're here with bolt cutters. T-Mobile will help pay off your locked phone and give you a new 5G phone for free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrier freedom.
Via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax and a $10 device connection charge. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement as due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Some people play by the rules, but the real game changers break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we're talking to the risk takers, the rebels, and the ones rewriting the playbook. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.